to show you something that maybe you haven't seen and maybe you haven't realized. In Ephesians 2, turn over to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, God tells us something about us as humans who have been redeemed, who have received Christ into our life, and we have received this blessed salvation of God. But it tells me something about what God did for us at that moment. I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world. I'm in this world, but I am not of this world. The devil wants me to come into this realm. He wants me to fight him in the realm of reason. He wants me to join up with the problem. The devil wants me to get my mouth connected with the challenge. He wants me to speak in line with what I'm in. He wants me to see on an earthly level. He wants me to look at things on a plane that he looks at them, not at the plane God looks at them. But when you and I got saved and received Jesus Christ, he transported us. Our spirits, our life is now transported. You see, if I said to you today, are you saved? Everybody in here would say, I'm saved. And I would ask you, what does salvation mean to you? Do you have eternal life today? And everybody in here would say, yes, sir, I have eternal life today. And the point being that if you were to die right now, if any of us were to die right now, we have the assurance now, not when we die. How many understand what I'm talking about? I won't possess eternal life when I die. When I got saved, I got eternal life. It's mine. I have an assurance. I am living proof today of eternal life. You say, how? Because he said it. He said, I have eternal life. I'm not waiting for my eternal life. As a matter of fact, I'm not afraid to die. I don't want to go today. But I have no fear of death whatsoever. None at all. None. Because I know to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. I have inherited. My inheritance is secure. I'm not worried about my inheritance. How many of you have eternal life? If you have Jesus, you have eternal life. It's not just a promise. It's not the promise of eternal life. You are the inheritor. And here's what it says here. It says, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places. If you are still living in this realm with your eyesight in the horizontal, then you've missed the point that where we look is in the vertical. Here's the thing. I'm not looking up. I'm looking down. Y'all didn't get that. Many of us, our perspective on life is that we're looking up to God for help when you miss the point that he has already helped. You miss the point that salvation doesn't occur when you die. Salvation occurs now. You are saved today. You are looking from the perspective of heaven, not the perspective of earth. I don't know if anybody gets what I'm talking about. That's why when we talk about healing, not one disease, not one thing that comes on this planet will ever surprise Jesus. When Jesus was on the cross and he said, it is finished. He knew AIDS. He knew about hepatitis. He knew about the bird flu. He knew about swine flu. There's no disease you're going to pick up the doctors may not know, but Jesus knew. And because he knew, when he said, my stripes have healed you, he didn't say, well, if you get AIDS, I'll heal you. If there's a disease that comes along, lupus shows up, and I won't know what that is, but I'll heal you then. He took care of lupus when he died on the cross. He took care of cancer when he died on the cross. I'm not looking up, I'm looking down. My perspective is, I've been seated. I'm sitting. I'm seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. That's a different perspective. What kind of perspective is it? Because see, when we were redeemed from the curse of the law, every one of you in this room knew. You know. Jesus became cursed. Cursed is everyone that hangs upon a tree, that the blessings of Abraham may come upon us. And so what were the things that we were redeemed from? We were redeemed from sin. You're sure of it. We were redeemed from sickness. But there was something else we were redeemed from. You and I were redeemed from poverty and lack. God said, we don't have to live there. We don't have to live in just getting by. We don't have to see if the rest of the world doesn't have to live in a thatch hut, then you don't have to live in a thatch hut. Yeah. If the rest of the world can have running water and a toilet, then you don't have to have an outhouse anymore. I don't think anybody gets what I'm talking about. Because God is no respecter of person. And what he will do for one, he'll do for another. And our mentality is still so earthly that we don't understand. We're looking down. You and I are seated in heavenly places. What does that mean? Well, look at Revelation 21:19. I've been seated with him. I've been seated with him in heavenly places. I'm seated here. This is where I am seated. This is where I am sitting. This is where I'm participating. Revelation 21:19. The foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation, jasper. The second foundation, sapphire. The third, chalcedony. The fourth, emerald. The fifth, sardonyx. The sixth, sardius. The seventh, chrysolite. The eighth, beryl. The ninth, topaz. The tenth, chrysoprasus. The 11th, jacinth. The 12th, amethyst. Look at this. Jewels, fine jewels, jewels. Let's go to the next verse. And there were 12 gates, were 12 pearls. Every several gates was one pearl. And the street of the city, pure gold, as it were transparent glass. You see, if you still see yourself here, you can't see yourself there. You don't understand where God has seated you. You have been seated in heaven's wealth. Oh, hallelujah. Today, you are seated. God has lifted you and elevated you into heaven's wealth. It's not something you're going to get. If that was the case, then eternal life is what I'm going to get. But I already have it. I inherited it. And God said that you and I are the inheritors of the saints. We're inheritors. You and I, when Jesus was raised up, you and I were raised with him and seated with him. God has seated every believer in a position of heavenly wealth. I wish somebody would get what I'm talking about. That's where you're seated. You are seated in the midst of heavenly wealth. We were redeemed into a position of wealth. Not just wealth, but super, super wealth. You see, we've been living too far, too long beneath what God has called us to live in. And as believers, it is my job to challenge you and speak to you and say that the system we're in doesn't work, but the system God has works. It's time for us to realize that God wants us to move into a heavenly system. That there's a place of divine wealth that you and I can live in where we don't have to live poor no more. Somebody say, I ain't po' no more. I don't go to po' folks' restaurant. That's just the wrong name for me. I don't eat a po' boy sandwich because I ain't po'. I ain't eating porridge. I'm not going backwards. I'm telling you, I'm not going back. I can't speak for you. I can't talk about where you're at. But I have come to the revelation knowledge that anything that isn't good, it ain't God. Somebody ought to say amen. Wealth. God has designed us for wealth. And when I got saved, he moved me into a kingdom of wealth. You've been transported and translated into wealth. So, well, Pastor, I don't have that today. And it's not God's fault. It's not God's fault. God wants us. You say, what is wealthy? It's not just money. It's not just money. It's peace in your house. It's when you go home and you can't wait to see your wife. That's wealth. It's when you go home and your kids are healthy. That's wealth. It's when you drive down the road and you don't have a car accident. That's wealth. It's when your washing machine keeps working when it should be broken. That's wealth. It's when the microwave goes an extra year, when the tires keep on lasting, when the battery don't go dead, when your alternator don't fall off, when the muffler don't quit. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. When you lay hands on your dog and he can walk again. I wish somebody knew what I'm talking about. I believe for all of that. I don't just believe for money. But let's go there. Wealth that God gave Solomon. What an example for us. God gave us an insight or gave us a visual, a replica, and showed us on earth what it could look like to have heavenly wealth in Solomon. He showed us. I want you to go to 1 Kings 6. 1 Kings 6. 1 Kings chapter 6. Starting at verse 20. And the oracle in the forepart was 20 cubits in length and 20 cubits in breadth and 20 cubits in height thereof. And he overlaid that with pure gold and so covered the altar, which was cedar. So Solomon overlaid the house within with pure gold, made a partition by the chains of gold before the oracle, and he overlaid it with gold. Verse 22 says, and the whole house was overlaid with gold until all the house was finished. Look at the whole house was overlaid with gold until the whole house was finished. Also, the whole altar that belonged to the oracle, he overlaid with gold. This is a vision. It's a visual. It's to show us what God can do on earth if we'll tap into heavenly wealth. I tell you, anybody that wants to fight me on prosperity has not read their Bible. God has seated us in heavenly places. And I tell you now, anybody that would tell you they don't want money doesn't understand that money is is a vehicle on earth that God will provide for our success. There's nothing wrong with you having financial wealth, the wealth of heaven. But look at this. Here's the thing. Turn over to Matthew chapter 6, 28, because we're going to find out how did Solomon receive this wealth. You and I want the wealth of heaven. We want to receive the wealth of heaven. And it's not a struggle. Too many people are still in the struggle. Too many of us are still in the struggle. We're living in the struggle. And I said this earlier, but our struggle's not against flesh and blood. God was clear that our struggle, look, you can say whatever you want to, but what does the Bible say? We wrestle not. I mean, we might want to. We might like the idea of wrestling with natural people, with family members. We might like that idea. And our fight, we think, is with somebody in the government. Our fight is with somebody at the department of such and such. Our fight is with something in a lawyer's office. But God said, I wrestle not against flesh and blood. We've got to stop fighting in the world. Stop fighting the world's way. You see, if the devil can pull you into the arena of the flesh, if he can pull you into the arena of the natural, you will fail. But if you can pull him up to the arena of faith, where you are seated in heavenly places, you will never fail. Oh, I wish somebody got what I'm talking about. How did he get it? Matthew 6, 28. So why do you worry about clothes? I think it's on King James. Let's look at it this way. And why do you take thought for your raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. So Solomon was our example. He was a picture, but the lilies of the field have higher glory, higher arrayment, higher display. I don't think you're going to get it in just a second. There's a heavenly display on this lily of the valley that exceeds what Solomon was clothed in. So if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? What's he going to clothe you with? What does God want to clothe every believer in? Well, certainly what Solomon had, but the glory that's upon the lily. I'll tell you, if you've got a problem with prosperity, you just hadn't read the Bible.
Amen.
How much more, you sitting in this pew, you sitting there struggling, fighting to get to the next level, hoping to get the next contract, still trying to get with somebody that can get you somewhere. Let me tell you something, when God puts favor on you, it won't matter where you are. God will go. When the wind of God hits you, you won't have to worry about your next contract or whether somebody like you or don't like you or whether they think you the one or you ain't the one. I'm telling you, when God breathes on you, it won't matter. He said, how much more will your heavenly Father clothe you? Oh, ye of little faith. You're seated. I don't know if my passion is coming out this morning. I hope that the passion of God is coming out of me so that you can understand. You don't just need a soft message that makes you feel good on Sunday. Y'all need truth that will set you free. You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I'm not here to tickle your ears. I'm here to tell you there's a way that you can come out. Too many Christians run around. They got the jargon. They keep talking about it. They'll tell you, bless, bless, bless. Ain't got nothing. Driving bombs. Can't pay for the kick. Bless, bless. I just got the Christian jargon, but ain't got no proof. God wants you to have proof. Put your money where your mouth is. I'm preaching real good. Because I get tired of hearing preachers, they just tickle in people's ears and scratch it. Scratch me here, scratch me there, scratch me here, scratch me there. I don't want to hear anything that, I just tell me what I want to hear. You don't need to hear, you need to hear what God said. Thus saith the Lord. You don't have to take thought. He said, I want to clothe you with that what's on, the same thing that's on the lily. I want to array you with the glory and the manifest in you the wealth of heaven, just like I did in Solomon. But he wasn't even arrayed in the glory of the lily. And here's how. Take no thought for what you're saying, what you shall eat, what you should drink, or wherewith you'll be clothed. For after these things, what things? If you look in the world, turn on your television. Snoop Dogg, P. Diddy. Beyonce, Fresh Prince. What are they seeking after? What are they seeking after?
Money.
See, they don't have wealth. They got money. I'm not saying they don't. If they know Jesus, obviously they know what we know. But here's the point. What things the Gentiles seek. So there is something. It's what's clothed on the lily. It's what Solomon had when he lined his house with gold. They're seeking after the wealth of heaven, which is where you and I are seated. Here it is, here it is. For your Father knows that you have need. He said, he knows you have, you didn't get that. He knows you have need of these. We think that it means God wants us to have just enough. You have need, and God will fill just that need. No. You have need of what clothed the lily. Oh. I'm going to preach over here. Maybe y'all get it. What clothed the heaven's wealth, seated in heavenly places. Oh, no. I has not seen. Okay, wait. Let's not go there yet. Wait. Hold on. Don't go. Hey, don't preach. I'm preaching. He knows you have. I'm tired of church standing up there and telling people all you get is salvation. Let me tell you, that ain't all I got. That ain't all I got. Let me tell you, I got joy unspeakable and full of glory. full of glory. I got joy. I got peace like a river. I got peace like a river. This joy that I found, the world didn't give it to me. No, this joy that I found. Oh, you didn't get it. And the world. For after these things do the Gentiles seek. But your heavenly Father knows you have need of these things. Seek first. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and when I have put God at the center, when I have made my love for, when I have become a God lover, not just a God knower. There are some that know God, but He don't know them. Many will come in that day and say, Lord, Lord, didn't I? He'll say, I don't know you. Many say they know Him, but does He? You see, when you become a God lover, a God, see, this whole thing about prosperity isn't about you. It's about Him. And it comes from your love for Him. You see, that's why when He came to the Laodicean church, He said, you've gotten wealth and you've gotten blessed, but you have lost. You have lost your first love. Every one of us, God wants to pour into us and clothe us with the glory of more than Solomon and fill us with heaven's wealth. But He said the only way you and I are going to have that is when we become God lovers. In the society we live today, see, there's a world we live in. These millennials, they don't want to see. When we were growing up in church, see, when I was growing up in church, I was there every time the doors opened. I was under the pews. My parents, we did everything. We worked like crazy in the church. And I never once thought I was being abused or taken advantage of. I never once thought, man, this is, you know, and it kind of reminds me of when I started dating Amy. Let me tell you something. When I started dating Amy, I would work all day long. I was also working at the church all the time I could. And any moment I had, does anybody know what I'm talking about? I would drive miles and stay up all night long. Does anybody know where I'm coming from? Come on, some of y'all fell in love like I did. Didn't y'all fall in love? I mean, you were so in love. Come on, I never once thought, doggone, I got to go see her. Oh, no, not again. As a matter of fact, when we got done seeing each other and I thought about her all the way home in my 45-minute drive back to my house at 2 o'clock in the morning. I didn't spend the night, praise the Lord. So anyway, I drove home every night. I didn't stay the night. Car be all over the road, but I was serving God. I wasn't going to get in sin. Amen. I always had the Matthew, Mark, Luke, John in between us. Amen. I had some chaperones there. You know what I'm talking about. But when I got home, I called her and said, baby, I'm safe. Did you make it home all right? Yes, I made it home all right. About 4 o'clock in the morning. Knowing I got to go to work in the morning. I'd be like, I got to go to sleep for the next hour. I got to get an hour. I got to get an hour. She's like, I love you. I love you. You hang up first, baby. No, you hang up. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Y'all know I'm right. I never once said, get off the phone, girl. I can't stand it. I'm done with it. Are you just wearing me out? Not once. Because I was so There was no effort in it. Nobody had to pull my leg. You didn't have to beg me to get in the choir. I didn't try to get out of playing the piano and drums. Try to find my way. I'm just tired. I'm just worn out. I had to get up in the morning and go to work because I was so in love with my wife. See, I feel that way about God. Listen, every time I get up, every hour I spend, every phone call I take, every time we do something here, our entire life's wrapped in this. We wake up in the morning thinking that we go to bed at night. It's 24 hours, 7 days a week as a pastor. And not once have I thought, boy, I hate doing this. Not once has it crossed my mind because I am so, I'm not in love with church. I love you, but I'm not in love with you. I'm not doing this for you. God said, if I love him with all my heart and love my neighbor as myself, those were the two commandments. I am so in love with him that I decided to follow that. I just want to follow it. I want to love my neighbor. I want to love my church. I don't think anybody, I hope you're getting what I'm trying to say. He said, if you want heaven's wealth, if you want to be filled, there is a position that you and I must have. Many of us got saved, and when we got saved, we would do anything. There wasn't enough church services for us. You guys that came out of traditional church like me, we'd go till 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon and then come back at 6. And then we get in a church like this, and we get to go home at 12:30, and we're like, why didn't we get out at noon? Don't he know I got to go to Ryan's today? Shh, I'm going to get there and the Baptist going to beat me. All of a sudden, we've lost our first love. How much word can I get? I remember the day I just couldn't get enough books and just couldn't get enough. And then as time passed, the books faded and my love for God faded, and then it was a drudgery, and Lord, they're abusing me and taking advantage of me, and because we didn't tell, we got to tell you. So you got to understand, seek first the kingdom. There is a benefit. There is a heavenly wealth that God wants to pour into your life, and he wants to clothe you in a greater measure than even the lilies of the field. And he wants to do that, and the way to do it is stop trying to stay in the struggle. Get out of the struggle and get in love. How many remember when you were first in love with Jesus? Do you remember when you first fell in love with Jesus? It seemed like anything you asked, you'd get it. Did anybody have that experience? It just seemed like people getting healed, miracles in my house. It's because I was so in love. We've got to get back to our first love. Why am I singing in the choir every week? Why do I run the soundboard? Why do I pick up the paper in the parking lot? Why do I support my pastor? Not because of the church, because I love him. I love him. When did we lose our love? When did we step away from the kind of love that we didn't have to always get blessed at church? When we didn't always have to come, and if the entertainment wasn't right, if we didn't get the right kind of singing, if it wasn't jumping, hooping, hollering, we didn't have the 2-beat going, everybody dancing around the building. I don't come to church for the 2-beat. I don't come here for the Jericho marches. I come here because he said, forsake not the assemblies of yourselves together as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. God said to do it, I'll do it because I love him. Not because I've got a duty or an obligation. I'm so in love with Jesus. If you're not careful, you'll sow the wrong kind of love in your kids. You'll sow a love in them for sports. You'll sow a love in them for robotics. You'll show them that you're willing to put in hours at the gym with them. Hours on the field kicking balls. But Lord, if we got to go more than an hour to church. Never mind, I'm not going there. Oh, I just preached. And then we wonder, where's the prosperity, God? Why? Solomon didn't get there by struggle. Solomon got there by putting God first. God will clothe you and array you with glory like what's on the lily by an entrance into heaven's kind of wealth through love. Listen to 1 Kings 3:3. And Solomon loved God, walked in his statutes of David his father, only he sacrificed. See, we can read where Solomon offered 1,000 sacrifices. He was so in love. And look what happened to him. 1 Kings 3:13. We know the story. Solomon came and God asked him, said, what do you want? And he said this. Listen to verse 10. He says, and the speech pleased the Lord. And Solomon had asked these things. And God said to him, because thou had asked these things and hast not asked for long life. You didn't ask for riches for yourself. You didn't ask for life, the life of your enemies. But you asked for understanding and discernment and judgment. That's a man who's in love with God, not in love with things. We don't have to go to God and say, God, please pay my bills. Please help me. Oh, God, will you? You need to go in your closet and say, God, please let me love you like I've never loved you before. God, let me sense your presence like I have never. God, more than anything in this life, I want you. More than anything you could give me, I want you. How many remember those days? It's time to get back there. It's time that we don't worry about whether or not he pays the next bill, but whether or not we pay him honor. Oh, I want that back. I pray to God somebody in this room wants that back, that there's a passion inside of you that says, I want the joy of my salvation restored. I want to feel him like I used to feel him. I want to know him in the power of his resurrection. You go through your daily life and you burn. But if you'll burn for him, your daily life will burn for you. God gives to lovers of God. Abraham was a lover of God, and he has perpetual blessing to all of us through his love for God. He loved God so much that God said he would give to his seed and his heirs. That's you and me. We have everywhere in this world, we are marked with an Abrahamic blessing as Christians. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 2:9. But it is written. Listen. But it is written, eye hath not seen. How many blessings have you seen? How many TV programs have you seen? I'm talking about heaven's wealth. Eye has not seen. Your ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of a man the things that God has in store, the marriage that God has in store. You may say, my marriage is in a shambles, Pastor. God has a better marriage right where you're at. God has a way to change and bring wealth to your marriage. Wealth to your children, wealth to your education, wealth in your job, wealth in your future. Do you see what I'm saying? Do you see it? It may be all messed up, but he said, your eye hasn't seen it. Your ear has not heard it. It has not entered into your heart what God has in store. For who? For who? For who? For them. For them that love him. God brings wealth into our lives through our love for him. I want to close. The love of God launches us. I tell you, I tithe for a lot of reasons. None of them are to get. That's the truth. I've never once tithed because I thought I could get anything from God. Amen. It's never once. I realize that's a principle. I realize that God will bless me. But I have decided that I love God too much to withhold what belongs to him. I've never come to church because I was expecting a miracle. I've only come to church because I expected to worship a living God. And I always walk away with a miracle. Our motives must be right. Our motives must be right. And when we are in love with God, the way we tell people we're in love with him. Oh, do you love? Yeah, I love God. I love God. And then you say, well, do you do what he says? No. If you love me, see, real, genuine love causes you to do what pleases him. Real, genuine love for God. See, it's lip service if no actions follow. It's just lip service if my life doesn't look like he wants it to look. We have churches full of lips, churches full of mouths, but no lives. Your life, you were bought with a price. Honor God with your body, for it is your reasonable service. Lip service won't do. Genuine love causes us to act, to walk, to talk. I don't go home and do things that hurt my wife. If she tells me this bothers her and it upsets her, I don't go home and keep doing it. My son says, Dad, that hurt me. Well, good, let me do it again. No, I stop. And God has written a book that is about love. And when I love him, heaven's treasures, there is correlational evidence. I tell you, I want you to just think about this. I talked about examining ourselves during communion. You say, well, Pastor, I'm just not seeing it. I'm just not seeing these blessings. Then I hear a lot about love, and it's always about the person who thinks you ought to love a certain way. They never judge their own love walk. They always judge yours. Hey, every sinner can tell you what a Christian's supposed to look like. Do something wrong and say, I thought you was a Christian. Come on, everybody in this room knows exactly what I'm talking about. But let me tell you, the first love that generates the second love is the love for God. Ask yourself if it's not working. If it's not working, why? And then say, okay, how often am I coming to church? If this is where we come to meet together, love on our... I don't mean to go there. Nobody feel condemned this morning, but if you're only a Sunday morning Christian once a month, I'm wondering how your life as a marriage would be if you only showed up once a month on Sunday morning to your wife. How close would you be? How many times? I mean, how would she? Wouldn't she just love it if you came home once a month on a Sunday morning and you said, where's my tea? Did you put the money in the bank? Did you pay your half of the rent? No. What causes us to give is our gift. He said, your gift is what makes room for you. If you offer no gift out of love, then there's no room. Oh, I'm speaking good. Man, this is, pat me on the back real quick. Just do it real quick. Thank you. The love of God launches us into divine abundance and heavenly wealth. Genesis 24:1, and Abraham was old, stricken in age, and the Lord blessed Abraham in all things because he was a lover of God. Solomon was blessed. People who flow in heaven's financial fortune don't have to ask. They just simply position themselves for it. I'd write that down. If it was me, I'd write that down. People who flow in heaven's financial fortune don't have to ask for it. They simply position themselves for it. They align themselves with the requirements for it to come. They align themselves. They don't struggle for it. They simply have light. You see, the sun burns every day. It burns. And that burning sun creates heat. Yet every night, the moon reflects the burning sun. Does anybody understand where I'm going here? It doesn't burn. It doesn't create heat. And yet every night we talk about the moonlight. How does the moonlight? It reflects the burning sun. You and I are to be a reflection. God didn't call you to burn. He just called you to reflect. All you have to do is position yourself in the light of the sun, in the burning of the sun. All you have to do is meet the requirements and position yourself, and you will have the benefit of the light of God.